Welcome to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. Today's topic is the administration's goal to reduce the number of federal data centers by at least 40% by 2015. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, the Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal, and Yogesh Khanna, the Vice President and CTO for CSC's public sector. Well, let's start with some basics. The big issue that we continue to come back to is the Vivek Kundra's and OMB's 25-point IT reform plan and the cloud-first policy. The data center consolidation is first and foremost. The more CIOs I talk to, the more tell me, we're doing it, we're going down the path, but it's hard. And even Richard Spires, who I spoke with just recently from the Homeland Security Department, still leading the data center consolidation. And OMB had said to him, even though he's now vice chairman of the CIO Council, Vivek Kundra said to him, you're still really important to this data center consolidation. The focus on this is pretty laser-like. Give me a sense, where are we with it? What are you hearing from clients? Or how far down the path are agencies heading with this data center consolidation?
Well, this is a great place to start. Because, you know, it all really starts and is focused upon that plan, which is a great vision and has a lot of elements. It's a 25-point plan, right? So there's a lot of comprehensive elements and capabilities and value that is described in that plan. But at the same time, because it's comprehensive, it's confusing. And there's a lot of questions that are coming up, and there's a lot of uncertainty about how to proceed and from a prioritization standpoint, how to go forward. So clearly, some seem to believe as a result that that plan lays out a strategy that somewhat implies that cloud is a way of enabling consolidation. And not just from a technical perspective, but also from a funding perspective. And there's definitely validity with that approach, but my view is it clearly won't be enough, right? So you get to, you know, how fast, how much, based on what can be achieved in the near term. And the bottom line is that the migration to cloud will be deliberate, and it will be measured, and it will be from a risk management perspective, which means there's not going to be a wholesale migration to the cloud quickly. So the way to start is back in the consolidation in the data center. The fundamentals of data center consolidation are enablers for cloud computing, and they provide significant benefits, not just in terms of space and headroom, but also cost savings that will enable cloud migration and mobility as later phases.
And I think what we're seeing is that push toward that cost savings, the efficiency right up front. I mean, that's how they're selling it to the CFO community, the acquisition community, the overall management community, is we can save money, we can cut down on power costs, and we can become more sustainable. That's the easy sell, I guess, to bring it down to an easy level to understand. Is that what you kind of are hearing?
Well, it might be easy to understand, but it's nothing easy about it, you know, in terms of execution. But the bottom line is, yes, there are considerable still cost savings that are potential and left on the table in the federal IT environment. According to some recent data that I saw, only 14% of federal servers are virtualized. And as you know, what we've seen time and time again over the last dozen or so years is, you know, upwards of like 60% capital expense reductions and 30% operating expense reductions based on a physical to virtual migration. Now that, again, a key part, not just because technically it's enabling cloud computing as a later phase, but because it provides cost efficiency, you know, in a very rapid execution timeline that can fund the next phase.
Let me jump over to Yogesh now. Obviously, CSC is a service provider. You guys are seeing similar things, probably as Doug is, through VMware from your customers. Give us a sense of what your customers are asking from you guys. Where are they heading around cloud computing that you're seeing from your customers?
And a lot of our customers are on a spectrum. A lot of these guys are already consolidating and migrating to cloud computing. Many of our customers are in very early stages. They are still trying to figure out what their various assets are, what their applications portfolio looks like, what their infrastructure looks like. So for those clients, what we've got is a set of advisory services. We're going in and trying to understand their current environment, do an evaluation, and collaborate with these guys to figure out what their strategy and what their roadmap for data migration and cloud computing ought to be. We're finding that most of our clients find that extremely valuable. We are able to identify specific workloads that make perfect sense for them to move into a cloud environment. And on the infrastructure side, we are able to identify what various sites are that should be consolidated and take a structured approach on getting them to a consolidated virtualized environment.
So are there specific areas that you're seeing from agencies in terms of like the strategy that's really difficult to get to? Like, are they having trouble in specific areas on the strategy that you guys are helping them with?
I think the strategy does mean different things to different agencies. As I said, much like the agencies are also can be easily placed on a spectrum. There are agencies that are much further along and they have their strategies pretty laid out. Case in point, DHS. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. They've already announced that they're consolidating to two of their data centers. And they're actually pushing us as a service provider to bring a lot of the cloud computing services to them. On the left end of the spectrum, there are some agencies who are looking at this 25-point plan and really are looking to take those initial baby steps. And for them, as I said earlier, it's all about getting collaborating with them and figuring out what their current assets look like and laying out a very structured approach so they can have a strategy that they can sell upstream to their CFOs and then collaborate with the vendor community to take the next steps to consolidating and migrating some of their workloads into a cloud environment.
It's interesting. I was speaking with one CIO just recently, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Brett Bobley, and he said, you know, OMB asked us to consolidate our data centers. He looked at OMB and said, basically he said to me, he goes, "We only have one data center. How am I supposed to consolidate it?" But what's happening, and I think this is maybe a question for Doug, are some agencies, even if they have a consolidation happening or feel like they're in a pretty good place, are they saying, okay, we can still be more efficient. We can virtualize some of these servers. We can move to Blade servers. We can change the way our data centers work. Is that something you're starting to see, at least that as the first step towards moving full on to the cloud?
Remember that consolidation is all about efficiency, and cloud computing is more so about IT as a service. And that's kind of the main difference between the two. So even though agencies or some agencies may be highly efficient in their physical infrastructure, one or two or a handful of data centers that are operating at a high level of efficiency, the transition to IT as a service is a completely different ballgame, which requires the efficiency and virtualization and high utilization operating environment as a starting point. But that is just that, a starting point, right? So IT as a service is something that's been talked about in the industry for probably 20 years. And finally, with cloud computing, the standards and the technology are catching up, or near catching up to the point where IT as a service can be enabled. And so for any organization, even highly consolidated ones, the transition to IT as a service is a much more deeper kind of a transition organizationally that they need to go to, because most IT organizations are providing technology and not providing services, and that's a major shift for them.
I think that's what you're seeing across the government. And let me jump over to Yogesh real quick. When you see agencies talk about providing service, you're seeing a lot of this customer relationship management, customer service. They're breaking down their CI organizations. And Doug mentioned the key word there, efficiencies. What are you seeing around efficiencies that agencies can address first and foremost through consolidation, through cloud?
When you talk about efficiencies, you really have to start looking at what defines your workload. Workloads are essentially business functions that various agencies leverage IT for. The three or four key things that provide efficiency very quickly are email and collaboration services. You know, development and test, that's an area which I'm discovering is a killer app, if you will, for cloud computing environment. Traditionally, the federal agencies have grown up by creating essentially siloed development and test environments, and there are so many of them, and after the testing and development is done, there's no need for these things. So why not just migrate that workload into a cloud and try to, you know, essentially reduce your cost of developing an application and testing it out? And essentially, you pay for what you use and nothing more. So that's another one. The other area is desktop virtualization. We're finding that various components around federal agencies have got multiple flavors of desktops and the images that they run on them. And to be able to consolidate all that and bring into a cloud environment can really deliver some productivity gains and efficiency.
It's interesting you bring up the testing and development platform, because I know Forge.mil over at the Defense Information Systems Agency, that was one of the early ones. I know the Homeland Security Department is also bringing up a testing and development platform. Doug, let me shift back over to you. When you look at email, when you look at testing and development, when you look at desktop virtualization, why are so many reaching to those areas first? I mean, is that just because that's the easiest? Is that the lowest hanging fruit? Or is that because it makes the most sense, biggest bang for the buck?
It's a combination of all of the above, I think. And for example, like in the dev test environment, you know, dev test environments have characteristics, you know, transient workloads, high levels of utilization followed by no levels of utilization. And those needs are very well met by cloud computing infrastructure and environment because of the elasticity capabilities, for example. But in addition, there's lower risk, you know, in a dev test environment than there would be in a, you know, high secure, you know, production facility or a need like that. as well. When you get to the desktop environment, for example, virtual desktops, also the technology has advanced to the point where basically what happens in a strategy there is the operating system, the applications and the data are actually migrated from the desktop endpoint and moved into centralized data center environment on the back end. And we can call that, for example, a internal private cloud, right? So one of the things that we've seen with recent leaks of information in the press is that immediately with that type of an approach, by moving the data off into the internal private cloud, it immediately makes it more secure because you can lock down the endpoint at that point and have actually no remnants of the data locally for it to be, released outside the network. But in addition to that, it becomes immediately more manageable from an administrative standpoint. And then the cost efficiencies are not necessarily the primary driver there, even though they're there as well. So the technology is catching up to the need is basically, the combination of things. It's almost like a perfect storm coming into, market conditions.
You brought up the desktop virtualization. I got to ask you, Vivek Kundra made a little bit of news a couple weeks ago at an event, and he talks about he could foresee in the distant future, instead of the government handing out cell phones or laptops, you use your own personal one, but you have a virtualized desktop on the back end. Or is that idea being done anywhere else in the private sector?
Definitely, there are some organizations that are utilizing such a model today, although I am not aware of any more than a handful that are piloting within an enterprise perspective. It's more of a university kind of driven model, in my opinion. But nonetheless, that is something that is coming more so to the forefront and can be achieved over the long haul. But I think particularly when you talk about the federal government, there needs to be a risk-based, phased approach that comes into how such a vision and strategy would be executed. And so there's clearly stepping stones along the way that can be achieved in the near term that without a high degree of security risk or complexity associated with the financial relationships that might come into question when the end user owns the device and is responsible for maintaining it, for example. So those complexities are going to take time to work out within the security model of the federal government.
All right, we talked about what can be taken to the cloud easily. When we come back from break, we're going to talk about what is not so easy to take to the cloud. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal, and Yogesh Khanna, the Vice President and CTO for CSC's public sector.
The Virtualization Expert is brought to you by VMware and Carahsoft.
This is Aileen Black, Vice President of VMware Federal. In a recent study, federal IT leaders said telework and delivering desktop computing resources are the top reasons for using cloud computing. There is no question, telework is a priority, and VMware customers know how easy it can be with virtualization. With VMware, agency standard PCs can be quickly provisioned, deployed, and managed from the data center. Personnel can securely access familiar resources through government-furnished equipment or their own PCs. Our customers have saved up to 45% on desktop cost, increased their employee satisfaction, and improved continuity of operations. If your agency wants to deliver desktop computing as a service, you'll want to see how easily you can do it with VMware.
VMware desktop virtualization solutions are helping federal agencies deliver desktop capabilities to personnel for telework and continuity of operations. To learn more, visit thevirtualizationexpert.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Federal IT Challenge brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller, and I'm speaking with Doug Bourgeois, Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware, and Yogesh Khanna, the Vice President and CTO for CSC's public sector. Now, before break, we talked a little bit about what can be done easily, desktops, email, test and development platforms. What can't be done so easily? What is maybe a harder or even a longer term, maybe a never term, technology take to the cloud? Let me start with Yogesh.
If you look at the various applications that various agencies have, a lot of these are legacy applications that were written a long time ago using code that is not supported. Many of these applications were hard-coded on the various platforms that they run on today. So fundamentally, anything that's running on proprietary technology that might have some specialized requirements that are unique to a particular agency or have some complex software licensing issues associated with those applications, in my opinion, aren't good candidates. And certainly you can't ignore the security requirements. Anything that is in a classified environment that should not be placed in a shared mode of a cloud are more than likely not good candidates to put into a cloud environment.
Doug, your thoughts on some of the areas that you're seeing either from your customers that they're really struggling with or they've started to look at and go, whoa, this is a lot more complicated than we thought it would be.
Yeah, I agree with the perspective that Yogesh has already described here with respect to, you know, the types of workloads, legacy specifically in high security, that might not be good candidates. As you know, I used to be the executive director of one of the federal shared services agencies. And when I was in that role, we looked at and migrated certain services over to a cloud model. And while we were doing that, we actually analyzed what workloads in the data center would be good and therefore which would be not good cloud candidates. And we identified something like 42 different workloads when we were doing this analysis. But basically, it boiled down to workloads that have low tolerance for latency, high sustained memory utilization, heavy integration requirements, like workflow types of applications, things like that are not great candidates for cloud computing. And then there's kind of a business side of it that Yogesh had already kind of put out there that, you know, some software companies have not really caught up to a cloud-friendly licensing model, and that can be a significant hindrance as well. So it's a combination of technical characteristics, kind of appliance-like standalone types of workloads are the best, and, you know, I say in quotes, easiest, not easy, but easier, relatively speaking, to go to a cloud model now. And then there's a, you know, roughly 60% or so of all workloads in the data center, at least in my view, are not yet cloud ready. But the preparatory early steps can happen for many of those workloads. Again, the virtualization to create the abstraction layer and the mobility of those workloads so that they can be moved once, you know, cloud computing kind of catches up to what their main needs will be.
Yogesh, some of the ideas, some of the things you're seeing in terms of your customers, are there certain areas that they want to move to the cloud, but it's challenging, but it's more tricky than they initially thought?
So, Jason, we earlier talked about email and how that's a very nice workload to consider for moving into a cloud. Now, as easy as it is for us to open a brand new account for users for new email, you've got to realize that if you're taking a legacy environment of email and migrating to a cloud environment, there are some serious challenges that have to be addressed. As an example, email is not just standalone. There's a lot of archived data that users generate over time. And there are other systems like collaboration systems or workflow systems that are attached to email as a service that have to be in a structured manner accounted for as you migrate the companion data for those things into a cloud environment. Migrating email into a cloud sounds very easy, but all the underlying issues and dependencies have to be very managed very structured manner.
And in fact, that idea of archive is really challenging because what I'm hearing from people, for instance, in the government that are trying to move their email now is a lot of people can have gigabytes of archived email on your desktop, and moving that to the cloud is not so simple to make sure you can still have access to it. Doug, are there anything from your end that you're seeing, whether it's around email or other areas that are challenging when you start thinking about, okay, we definitely want to go to the cloud with this, but we've run into some new complexities that we hadn't thought of?
There's been some innovation in standards in the industry that have emerged that are addressing this particular challenge. And I'm not going to create the impression or that it's been solved completely, but there are standards like the Open Virtualization Format Standard, which is really, and that version is in 1.0, and I think it was approved by the Distributed Management Task Force, which is the industry body that is responsible for those standards, around 5 or 6 months ago, right? So it's fairly new. It's been in place for a while. That is really about the mobility, not just of the workload, but also about the data associated with that workload. But that said, there's still underlying infrastructure requirements in terms of if you're moving, as you mentioned, you know, large quantities of data, you need large enough pipes to be able to move it through. Even though it's virtualized, it's easier to move, but, you know, can't move it if it's not going to go through the pipe, okay? So there's certain, you know, laws of physics that still apply here. But that said, there's a bigger picture, you know, issue here about these workloads, because I think what we're seeing is the IT organizations, the CIOs are saying, well, you know, email, I can get my mind around email as a cloud workload, and there's plenty of options available, or at least a few and growing of options available in the market. And I think that there's more to it than meets the eye that they should be looking at when they consider this, because I think because the workload can be somewhat isolated, they tend to think it's a standalone workload. But I think that the analysis behind going to someone's cloud and going and moving that data into their cloud is not just the issue of the workload, but it needs to be looked at from a security framework standpoint, but also from a management framework standpoint. And I say that any organization that's moving workloads to a service provider's cloud, they're still going to want to establish and maintain control, compliance, security, and manageability
from their internal cloud to reach out into that service provider's cloud in a hybrid cloud model so that they can control what's going on there. And in the model that we're kind of implied by the question implies something else. That implies going into their cloud, and when do you ever get it out of their cloud, you know, comes up.
I think that service level agreement, which I think you're much what you're specifically pointing to, is one of the toughest things. And then you brought up security issue as well. And security, you know, there's a lot of people, I think, in government vendors and agencies waiting for GSA to finish the FedRAMP process. Let me throw it over to Yogesh. Just talk about security in general. I mean, is that really still the biggest sticking point? Have people gotten past the idea that, yes, you can secure data in the cloud? Or are agencies saying, you know, I'm just going to put easy data out there, public affairs stuff, public data already. So if something happens, it's bad, but it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, so Jason, I don't know if security is still the biggest issue out there, but it's certainly still a very significant issue. In my opinion, at the end of the day, you know, the pace of cloud traction will be driven by our perception of risk to embrace cloud computing, right? So I use an example. Just like a person living in Ohio doesn't necessarily buy earthquake insurance because the probability of an earthquake down there is rather low, I think federal CIOs need to do a similar assessment of their entire portfolio and assess the potential of risk of taking certain workloads into a cloud environment. I think, again, the workload is a bit of a spectrum. Certain workloads have risk profiles that are rather low, and those workloads make perfect sense, like your public-facing websites. On the other end, there are certain workloads that have a very high risk profile, perhaps, you know, some unique mission-critical application that has, you know, classified data that you're dealing with. I would never recommend a CIO to put that kind of a workload into a cloud. So the guidance that CIOs need to sort of embrace is develop a risk profile on a per workload basis and make a decision on what makes perfect sense to put into a cloud. Don't use security necessarily as a barrier to go into a cloud.
We've talked a lot about where we're heading now, low-hanging fruit, what can be done in the short term. Give me a long-term vision. Where are we going to be in 5, 10, 15 years from now? What's the enterprise of the future look like? Let's start with Yogesh.
While still there are a lot of impediments that are in front of us, I think the journey to migrating into a cloud is absolutely on. A lot of agencies are well on their way to actually migrating significant workloads into a cloud environment. So what does the enterprise of the future look like? I think the enterprise of the future will be very simple. It'll be scalable. It'll be secure and sustainable. Delivering IT performance and efficiencies that federal agencies require today. I strongly believe that it'll span private virtualized IT environments, as well as both community and private clouds that'll have agility and security that enables workload portability. And I also believe that it won't happen overnight. I think the enterprise of the future will evolve. It'll be deployed in phases that allow agencies to strategically manage transformational change in the way they procure, consume, and deliver IT for enduring value.
Doug, real quick, your thoughts on that same thing?
I agree with what Yogesh has said here. And I think the organization of the future really boils down to this IT as a service enablement. That's really the end goal of what cloud computing is trying to enable. And I think when you look at what that means, is that it means a truly fundamental shift for the responsibility of the IT organization. No longer will the IT organization be responsible operationally for the entire stack of mission services and the technologies that are enabling that. So the IT organization as a service provider becomes more of a trusted advisor to the mission and a service broker of helping to establish the policies and the decision-making and the governance, and in fact, the pricing as well, around where are we going to deploy these services and these workloads to help enable what the mission is trying to accomplish. And they'll have to not only be responsible for the strategy of this workload's commodity, it goes here, this workload is amenable to some community cloud, and so on and so forth, but they're going to have to execute that in a very seamless but a very effective and efficient way behind the scenes so that the mission still gets what they expect out of this, which is agility and economics, right, and efficiency. So it is going to fundamentally change. I think that it's going to be, as Yogesh said, a slow and gradual transition. But IT as a service is really the end game. And I think we're going to see more and more. The successful mission organizations are going to be relying on IT shops that make that transition successfully.
Unfortunately, though, we are out of time. You've been listening to the Federal IT Challenge, brought to you by VMware on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. I've been speaking with Doug Bourgeois, the Vice President and Chief Cloud Officer for VMware Federal, and Yogesh Khanna, the Vice President and CTO for CSC's public sector.
To learn more about how virtualization can help your agency, go to federalnewsradio.com, keyword VMware.